Hi
Hi.
everyone, we're recording. It's the 1st of September.
Yes, for our September Bee City USA Ashland quarterly meeting. Nice to see everyone here today, even though we're on Zoom land again. And so we have everyone present. And so I'm calling the meeting to order and welcome Nancy and Lori and Albert and also Leslie and hi, Rachel. And then it's nice to see some guests here today, Pat and Louise, Pat Nichols and Louise Shawkat. Thank you very much for joining us. So anybody have anything that you'd like to share in terms of anything, wonderful related to pollinators or Ashland Parks or anything like that? Anything happening exciting? Well, I'm seeing leaf cutter bees, which is exciting to me. That means they've arrived and they're later in the summer. So we're seeing those now. And I've also seen a few of the longhorn bees. So that's exciting to see that. And I think we just had a swallowtail go by. So yeah. So welcome everybody. Anybody else have anything to say before we move on to the meeting?
I heard someone say to me that he saw a small flock of monarchs up Dead Indian Road,
Oh my God.
where that, I think it's called Culver, where it cuts over to Klamath Falls, that cutoff road.
Yes.
So I said, are you sure they weren't swallowtails, black and no, they were orange, they were monarchs.
Okay, I hope he's right. That would be
I do too.
amazing. Wow, cool. All right. Thanks for that good news. And then we'll just move on into approving the minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to read them. Thank you, Libby, for taking our good notes and turning them into good minutes. Does anybody have a question or comment about what we had from last meeting? Nope. Okay.
We
Oh
have
yes, Leslie.
I just wanted to say, Libby, thank you so much for outlining and checkboxing those action items. That is like the best I've ever seen for any meeting I've ever been in. It's so helpful. I love it. I love it.
Awesome.
And we've had the pleasure of having that happen now for how many years? 4 years, something like that. We're spoiled.
And the
Thank you.
magical thing is she gets them out within an hour of our meeting.
What? Maybe don't say that because then she's got a bar that maybe doesn't always might not always happen, but she gets them out quickly.
I do get them out pretty quickly. I don't think I'll be able to stay late at work tonight, but I will get them out probably by tomorrow.
That's awesome. So could I have a motion to approve the minutes, please?
I'd move to approve the minutes.
Thank you so much.
I can second that.
Thank you so much. All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Awesome. Moving on. Thank you. You saw the action items. I don't know if we necessarily need to talk about any of them in particular. We'll have a couple of those that'll move on down to the agenda. So hopefully you saw the action items. Good job on everybody on getting your items completed. So without further ado, let's move on to public participation. I'm happy to see that Pat is here and also Louise. So Pat, would you like to say anything about why you're here or any topic that you'd like to discuss?
And one thought that I'm having for this public participation moment is that we might want to set a number of minutes for each
Okay,
person because
good idea.
we have so much on the agenda this time, and usually public statements are just a couple of minutes. And then, of
Sure.
course, you can continue to participate in the rest of the discussion, obviously, as we go forward. But in terms of just making a statement, maybe we could keep it to, I don't know, what do you think, Christina? Maybe 3 or 4 minutes?
I was going to say 3 minutes, say who you are, where you live, why you're here, if anything particular. Yeah, go for it, Pat.
I'm from Mountain Meadows, and that's a 55 plus community for those of you who might not be familiar with it. And I think the biggest thing that happened on our campus has been the development and the approval by our board of a long range landscape plan. And that includes things like planting more native plants native to this region. Limiting the pesticides. I don't think it was said that we'd get rid of them forever, but that's on my agenda. And looking at different parts of the campus as a whole, which is what we've been doing for the last year or two, having a group of people go around four times a year and report back to our landscape, to our grounds and natural area committee about what's being accomplished and what needs to be accomplished and what's on our plan, so that everybody's aware why things look bad at the moment and why they might improve in a year or maybe in our lifetime. I think that's about the biggest thing we've done.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then we reported last month or last meeting about how Mountain Meadows has been doing such a good job getting gardens going that are applicable or appropriate for pollinators. And we had a little tour on the best day this summer. I don't know how we've managed that, but so yeah, thanks Pat for everything that everybody's doing there at Mountain Meadows. I think you have a good team.
We appreciate your help. Let me just say that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Is it possible for us to get a copy of that landscape plan to use as somewhat of a template for some of the other HOAs that we are hoping to approach?
Sure.
I think I'll check with my committee, but sure, I think it's possible. Who should I send it to?
Christina.
And we can talk further in that, because we do have an item on the agenda to talk further about this. Louise, welcome.
I didn't come to say anything, but I'd like to say that Rochelle, who moved away, will be a big loss to Mountain Meadows. And also in the spring, I wish someone would take a photograph of the daffodils that are proliferative in Mountain Meadows. It's just a delight. If somebody could put that on their calendar.
Okay. And I will say that this next year, we have a promise of some donated camas bulbs.
Woohoo! Way to go.
And that's going to be gorgeous. Right after the daffodils.
That'll be gorgeous.
Pat, I have a canister of camas seeds. Are you interested?
No, I can't have time to do that. Thank you.
Okay.
And I just want to say,
somebody who might. Thank you.
And I just want to say, for those of you who don't know, Louise has participated in our tour, you know, back when we did those things, twice, I think. And Louise has just a beautiful native plant, non-native plant garden in her backyard.
Thank you,
Louise. Okay, so do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda? Hearing none, we're going to move on to unfinished business. The first one is the status of the BCityUSA grant application that we had talked about over a couple of meetings. And Libby, do we have any updates on?
Sure. So let's see. Someone is in the waiting room, so let me admit them to the meeting. So we have been trying to get more information about the revegetation at Ashland Pond, and that revegetation project will be done with a combination of APRC staff and also Lomakase Restoration Project. And mm-hmm. we've needed some answers specifically from Lomakase about what will be planted and what the budget and the timeline are for that project in order to acquire the grant. And that information is not forthcoming. So I feel like I might be barking up the wrong tree. They may not be at that at a point where they can provide us with that information right now. The plan is kind of stalled. So I asked, you know, is there, would it be beneficial to continue to try to push for that information so we can secure this grant? I kind of got the impression, well, I got the answer that no, they probably don't have the bandwidth to provide us with the information that we would need to do a grant application. So we might just need to let that project idea go.
Well, it seems like $1,000 could come and help handy, but
I know.
What am I to say?
It required content that we didn't have. And that I keep pushing for, but that doesn't look like we're going to have anytime soon. So,
okay. Do we have anything else in our environment that I maybe Rachel or somebody else knows that would be helping to restore fire impacted land in Ashland that, you know, parks and or Bee City would have purview over. It's coming from Bee City USA Central, and, you know, it just seems like it would be something worth pursuing. So I don't know.
I don't think there is. Okay. The other affected areas in Ashland are areas that are overseen by Jackson County or ODOT. So the only area that was really affected was the Riverwalk area, obviously, and a little bit of the Ashland Jump Park, you know, where the fire actually started. So I would say no, not at this time. And, you know, I think it's not for, I will say that it's not for Libby not asking.
And keep asking.
We're just kind of waiting on Lemakotsi right now.
Yeah.
And at some point we just got to just try to move forward with other things. So.
Right. Well, we'll just take it off the, you know, possibility list, so to speak, for right now. And I guess if they want to come back in the next month, we could still do it. But
Do you know if Bee City and is it Talent that has a Bee City?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they going to be applying for this kind of grant? Because
I have not asked, but I know that I asked Molly Martin. I asked, could we apply and then help another city? And she says, no, it needs to be yours. We can't share funds. But that's a question.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they are. I mean, I hope so. I didn't ask.
I have a question. Was there a project site in mind for this? I don't recall.
Down there, that's some.
Yeah, it was Ashland Ponds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all right. That's what I'm
sorry. I said Riverwalk, but I meant Ashland Ponds. Sorry,
okay.
I get them confused all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Got it. Well, I was thinking there was a place in Riverwalk too. Then is what you meant. Okay.
No, the only places that were on parkland that experienced damage from the fire was Ashland Pond and a little bit of the Jump Park, like Rachel said, and the revegetation might have been a good fit for the Ashland Pond project, but it doesn't look like the timeline is working out.
Okay.
For that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And then moving on, unless somebody else has any other comment about that. Oh, and also, I just want to interrupt. So I see a Walter Sidoriak, but I'm not sure that's Walter with us. Hi, welcome.
This is Charisse.
Hi, Charisse.
I had technical difficulties and ended up going to my husband's computer to make this call. So I missed the whole first part. I apologize.
That's okay. We were just doing introductions and so forth. So for those of you that don't know, Charisse, you are with?
I'm on the Ashland Wildfire Safety Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I have proposed a partnership tour-wise, which I think I sent in.
Yes. Yeah, so you are on our agenda. I just wasn't connecting Walter with Charisse. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So moving on. Now we're into our working groups. So we have two working groups. The first one is called Assist HOAs and Other Neighborhoods in Developing Pollinator Landscape Plans, which is what we have been working on with Mountain Meadows, Pat Nichols, and then also Beth Nichols and Rochelle Newman.
Beth Essex.
What did I say?
Beth Newman. Beth Nichols.
Beth Nichols, sorry. They're not sisters. Beth Essex, Pat Nichols, and Rochelle Newman have been the movers and shakers over there. So thank you, Pat. So since you are here, Pat has already sort of summarized. Would you like to say just a few more minutes about anything in particular? I can add a few things if you would like, if you don't want to say that, but anything more detailed in terms of, you know, your landscape plan getting it approved by your GNA board, education to the community?
Well, we have a project going with Lemakotsi, and it's in progress. It's been stalled because of the lack of water, but they've been clearing the blackberries for over a year now, and they've been replanting native plants, but they've had to put little mesh tubes around them because the deer have attacked them. And that's that's going to be a problem as the water dries up. So far, they're still living, but we don't know how much water we're going to get from the creek, from the rest of, and Talent has cut off its water, I think, the Talent, what do you call it, TID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Pat had sent me some information about their, what they're working on, and it was adopted by the GNA, the Grounds and Landscape, and Natural Areas.
It was adopted by the whole board. So the entire community is on this landscape plan that Nancy asked about.
That's awesome. And so one of the things that is part of that is develop an ongoing education and communication plan. And you have newsletters or whatever you want to call it to send out. And so you're going to have weekly updates. You're going to do signage. You're going to provide information to the residents. And so I just think that's really awesome. And I would encourage other HOAs like Nancy has suggested to look at what Mountain Meadows is doing. And one of the things that I'm hoping comes out of what Mountain Meadows is doing with Bee City USA Ashland is that maybe next year sometime, I don't know, we could talk with Bee City USA Central and have some sort of educational workshop with other Bee City USAs around the country to show how this HOA has really done a great job getting out into the community, your community, and creating this awareness and looking at the landscape in a different way than perhaps a lot of HOAs do. So, and I think this ties into working group two in some way, but I just wanted to tell Pat, thank you for that. And when you get your article published in the LARC, and then there was another one, which I don't remember, would you just send those to me or Nancy, sure, whatever, and then we can share with the rest of the committee so that y'all, everybody can see what's happening over there. I think that would be good.
I would like to add that the reason people are interested in the landscape is because we pay for it. We are not under an HOA. Everything that goes into the landscape is out of our pockets. So that's why they're willing to support the oversight of us going around. And we do this as part of our community duty. Mm-hmm. We aren't paid either. So I want to make that clear.
Oh, yeah.
Not every HOA can do this.
That is correct. Correct. But HOAs can choose, and I know some that don't. That's why I'm saying this. HOAs can choose to spend that kind of money and develop their landscape, but some don't. Okay, so enough of that. So thank you for that. Moving on to working group number two. Nancy.
That's okay. Could you get on, Pat, could we, Christina and I, get on your weekly or monthly email list of the landscape group when you're talking about the wonderful things you're doing so we could see?
I will ask. Yes, I'm not sure. They're pretty touchy about letting outside community members.
I see. Okay,
I will ask.
We'll just trust you to keep us appraised of what wonderful things you're doing.
No, I think that's a great idea. I'm just saying, I'm not the one who can say that's okay.
Sure. And when you say that you are paying for everything, is that you and a few of the
No,
homeowners, it's HOA.
We pay monthly dues just to live here, and we have a finance committee that decides what the outcome and outgo and income should be.
Okay. And
there's lots of controversy about that because it keeps going up.
Thank you.
And Nancy has just been one of, you know, we've been working together with Mountain Meadows. It's just been great. So yeah, good teamwork there. Working group number two, research and undertake a cost benefit analysis of converting public lawns to other landscape approaches. Lori, you have taken this by the horns and created a real good structure. I've read your notes from the meeting that you and Libby and Leslie had. Y'all talked about a lot of stuff. Can you give us a little update on what happened? What's going to happen?
Yeah, thank you. I want to thank Leslie and Libby for being part of that discussion with me. And we met in July. And actually, Libby has, I think, kindly made me a co-host so I could share my longer memo. I do recognize that we have a lot of items on this agenda, so I probably could, Libby, could you help me with a time frame, or Christina, about how much space I'm allowed to occupy?
I don't know. Can you do 4 minutes, something, 5 minutes, something like that? Go for it. We'll go see.
Okay. I would like to ask whether my document would be able to be shared as an addendum or something to the mm-hmm. group. Would that work?
Sure.
I think all that anybody got with the packet was the original language and then the proposed revision of language that Rachel sent over.
Okay.
I'm happy to add this as an additional document with the final notes and minutes from the meeting. And I didn't realize that we needed or wanted to include this in the packet, so I apologize. But
yeah,
it can be added at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to be very conscious of the fact that this is a subgroup, and it was really to bring out ideas for the full group, and that the subgroup is not a decision-making body because mm-hmm. it's a public meeting. So we just, Leslie and Libby and I, sketched out some concepts in our subgroup to bring forth for this meeting. So I don't know that we can go through it all, except I will say that the original language that is being used on our agenda about the cost benefit analysis, that we had already decided to change that language to a different goal. And I know we need a shorter title, but we discussed the fact that the cost benefit analysis concept was, it is a defined concept and methodology that is much more ambitious than we can undertake as volunteers. So we could come up with a shorter name for this, but it is really about understanding the trade-offs that, and I'll make this a little bit bigger if people are having a hard time seeing it.
Yes, please.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the goal that we talked about with this work group is right here, that we are evaluating the opportunities for and barriers to converting lawns on APRC-owned and managed lands to other landscape approaches to ensure support of pollinators as well as provide recreational resources for Ashland residents. So embedded in this goal statement is that we understand that much of the purpose of parks is to provide space for humans, but we believe that there might be approaches that support more pollinators as well. Mm-hmm. So we laid out a bunch of objectives and APRC, well, I think I'm going to come back to this, but the APRC has suggested alternative language for this proposal. But I'd like to hold off on that for a minute. Mm-hmm. One thing that we discovered in our discussion, which is really, really great, is that APRC itself has, in its biennium goals, is going to be looking at their design and maintenance guidelines. This is one of their priorities for the next biennium. So what we would like to do, what we discussed, is that this is an opportunity for us to participate in that process by offering our own recommendations as they look at their design and maintenance guidelines. So this full document that we have, looked at the role of the Nature Center. We provided resources around climate change and pollinators, mm-hmm. which I think just really strengthened the need for the parks department to be more focused on supporting pollinators. So there's a lot of data around that. We developed, we proposed some specific objectives to go along the way. I was hoping we would get feedback on, but perhaps we don't have time for this today. But some concerns were expressed by APRC, I think from Michael Black, that were relayed through Libby or through Rachel about the language that we had here. And I guess I was hoping that that could be explained a little bit.
I think that I can speak to that. I think that the biggest, that the wording on the goal is good. I think the concern was the word recreational resources and what that meant. Because when Director Black read that, how he read it was, oh, we're going to be looking at converting a ball field to, you know, like soccer fields to other uses. So I think just maybe that was for him, that was one of the biggest concerns. And I think, you know, right now, the other thing I would say is that, you know, we're kind of in a new world right now with not having a park superintendent and Michael kind of playing double duty role with being a director and also the park superintendent. So we're kind of trying to figure out how things are kind of passed through the department. And that's why I put in, that's why we talked about maybe passing this information or recommendations onto the Parks Maintenance Subcommittee for review, because there are some park staff members on that committee. So those were kind of my two things.
So I guess one of my questions is, and I put this, I referred to this earlier in written form, that, you know, I've been in Ashland for 2 years and I've only been on this committee for a few months. And so I am really having a hard time understanding the structure of Parks and Rec, and perhaps it's because it's in flux. I went on the website for an org chart and I didn't, or even a staff listing, and I couldn't find any of that. And so I thought that would help me in my my role here with the committee and perhaps the public to understand that. And then the related comment that I would have around that is, since this is really about land use question rather than a recreation educational function.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered whether will it be possible for us to also interface directly with people from the more on the park side?
I think, we talked about that yesterday at our staff meeting, and Michael's going to look into it, and we may have an opportunity to have a park staff start coming to the B-City subcommittee meetings. But we're a little stretched a little thin right now. We're in the process of hiring another staff member as a Tech One position. So if we can free up one of our park supervisors to come to a B-City subcommittee meeting, I sure would appreciate it as well. So, yeah, so that's in process. That was spoken about yesterday. So,
oh, Rachel, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much. So I guess I don't have a problem with the revised language here. I guess because our goal was to be consultative, but I do want to speak to one thing, and I'm sorry, Christine, if I'm going a little long. I feel a little bit pressurized here. I feel like there's been misunderstanding somehow about how some decisions are made. So I guess I think the request here is to gain a better understanding. I think I'll just be blunt. I think sometimes it's put up, well, this is too expensive to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just becomes a conversation stopper. And I think we're really looking to have a collaborative role and really build understanding within this committee so we can work effectively. And so I think I think we're looking for some exchange of information, not just to be sitting on the outside. I hope that makes sense. And I mean, all due respect, we're trying to, we want to play. We want to
you
play
want to
with
collaborate.
This.
You want
we
to
do.
Collaborate.
Yeah, we do. Thank
I
you.
Totally appreciate that. And I think that maybe there's some way, I'm happy to, if you have another meeting, I'm happy to be there. And maybe I was thinking maybe there's some way we can reword, about working with or collaborating with the Parks Maintenance Subcommittee, because maybe that will help in the in the collaboration part of it, because now we're trying to it's few and far between to get park staff to a meeting. So
and Leslie and Libby, I'm taking the lead in speaking for it since I chaired the meeting and took the notes, but I didn't mean to be just speaking for everybody. Is there anything that you'd like to add or correct that I've stated?
No, I think that was great. And I think that it's such a big topic that you did a great job of going over it in a short amount of time. And yeah, I think that not this topic can't really be advanced inside of the big meeting because we have so many other bullets to get through. And that's why these outside discussions are probably going to be really good to have a working group continue to spin off, and to have participation and collaboration from parks would obviously make those meetings more effective because, you know, the notes come out and, you know, Michael might see them, but I'd like him to be included at the time. So,
yeah. And that wouldn't mean that parks representative has to be here at every meeting, but perhaps if we were able to have a robust discussion on this topic, that would be an ideal time.
And I think that would be a good use of the whole committee time as well.
Thank you. Leslie?
I actually just have a question on it. Maybe Rachel knows the answer. Does the Parks Maintenance Subcommittee actually meet on a regular basis? And who are they? And
so the Parks Maintenance Subcommittee does meet. I believe they meet kind of similarly to, well, they might meet more often, every other month or so. That it does include, I'm trying to remember if it's Julian or Commissioner Bell and Commissioner Lewis and then Director Black, and then two park staff. And I can't remember which, there's two supervisors from the parks team that meet with that subcommittee. And I just can't remember which two. So.
But I feel like I've never gotten any minutes or notifications that they've met throughout just in the last 9 months or whatever, or am I just not remembering, or do they not?
Let me double check on that, but they do take minutes because Sean is there and he takes minutes and interjects. So I can try to get some other information for you and email that to you if you'd like.
Yeah, because they all, I mean, I know a lot, maybe they just don't need to, but I wasn't sure. I know, like, there are several committees and subcommittees that report back. At least I just know, I get a notification and the meetings are in the APRC, but I can't remember that at the moment.
Okay, yeah, I'll get that info to you, no problem.
That'd be great, thanks.
Thank you, Lori, for that good report. Lots of good information. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just have your hand up? Oh,
no, sorry. I'm thanking everybody. Thank you. And thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Leslie and Libby. So it sounds like we're really making some good progress here. And if you want to send out your more updated document to everybody, that would be great. And sorry, we didn't get it into the meeting package.
If you send it to me, I can put it with the draft minutes of this meeting. We were just talking about how I get those out within a couple of days. I can put it with that and it can all go out together.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then I guess the next one is the proposed NeoNet resolution for the city of Ashland and what was supposed to happen after our meeting last time. Leslie and I were going to get together and talk and we just didn't get that done. So we have that on our list of things to do for next time. And I have a feeling with everything else going on, people are probably just as relieved that we didn't bring that back up. Leslie, do you have anything else to add in terms of what you might have looked at or found out about this in particular?
No, I think you and I need to talk, and then I probably need to have a talk with Rachel or Michael or someone in APRC and see what we can, how we can move forward. Probably the steps.
All right, that sounds good. Sorry about that. So the next one, I would like to propose, I don't know if I didn't do this at the beginning, I should have done this. Could we go ahead and move to number 6 since Charisse is here and has been so patient with watching and listening to all of everything else, but I hope that was informative. And then maybe we could do the number 5 after we've talked about the garden tour. Would that be okay with everybody?
Sure.
Okay, good. Perfect. So welcome, Charisse. Thank you for contacting Libby. And we are interested in hearing a little bit about who you are and what you do with the city, and then what you think that we could do to collaborate on something exciting.
Thank you for having me. This idea came up as a result of the Almeida fire and elevated risk awareness within the community.
I'm on the Ashland Wildfire Safety Commission, and I learned being on the commission for the last couple of years that engagement, face-to-face engagement with individuals is the most effective way to motivate behavioral changes so that people do something. So I've participated in the pollinator tours in Ashland and thought they were lovely. I myself am a former National Park Service employee of 35 years and was the chief of resource management and science at Sequoia Kings Canyon. I started my career in Yosemite and I have a strong background in conservation. I was also employed by the Bureau of Land Management as the chief of science integration for the Bureau. But I'm retired and I have been since 2016 and I moved to Ashland. I chose here to retire for obvious reasons. But my background, I started my career as a fire monitor, the first one in federal service, whose job was to observe fires and report on them, understand their behavior, and make decisions about what to do about them. So that's generally an introduction to me. My my skill set also extends into climate change, wildlife, anthropology, archaeology, cultural resources. I had to manage all of those things in my positions in the National Park Service. So I take a broad perspective in my approach to things. I was trained as a botanist, so ultimately at the ground level, it's plants that matter most to me. And so I decided, based on my career experience, to try to get back to the community that I live in and join the Wildfire Safety Commission. And I'm trying to become a member of the Forest Lands Commission as well. But the city has not gone through the process of accepting me. When I applied in May, I didn't realize it would take this long, but that's where it is. So generally, that's my background. Anything you want to know about that, or is that good enough?
I think that's great. Okay. Thank you.
So in terms of the Wildfire Safety Commission, what I started out saying was that engagement face-to-face with individuals actually makes the biggest change in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it spreads through one-on-one contact, family, friends, et cetera, passing the word and seeing it happen rather than being handing brochures and being told what to do on the radio or in the newspaper. Research has shown that that is far less effective than engagement. So the tour platform is one of multiple options that we are trying to stand up now on the commission. And one of the things that, since I'm promoting this with one other commissioner, as you know, the city has very little staff. Everybody's doing multiple jobs. And whatever we propose, we need to try to leverage from the volunteers from the outside rather than impose on city staff. So when I come to you right now, when I'm saying I'm associated with the Wildfire Safety Commission, they would be a sponsor or a partner, but they wouldn't necessarily be doing the work, although there are volunteers associated with the commission who are doing wildfire risk assessments right now. This is a program we're standing up this summer to train people to evaluate risks on people's properties. I didn't really prepare to say something, so I'm hoping this is cogent, but there are two parts of risk assessment. The first part is home hardening, and the second part is landscaping. And so when I'm thinking about tours, or actually myself and one other person who's part of this group, we're looking at several different venues for this. One would, home hardening would be something like joining tours with the solar group or conservation, mm-hmm. You know, building, focusing on that. That's not what we're talking about in this tour per se, although it goes hand in hand with landscape. If you have the right landscaping, you may not have to harden your home as much. If you have a really well-hardened home, maybe you can have more landscaping close to it. So the proposal that I'm bringing forward, because I at heart am a landscape person, is to try to piggyback onto the pollinator tour, because the other thing that I'm concerned about is I've heard citizens object to Firewise landscaping as desertification, bad for the ecology of the land. And I share some of those concerns. The other concern I have as a citizen is that deer are a really big issue and water conservation. So this idea of combining multiple objectives into a tour that kind of hits on conservation and Firewise at the same time, Firewise, water-wise, pollinator-wise, is something that I would like to try to work with you all to make real. And my understanding in talking to Libby is that you have this tour in June every year, or in the summer, except maybe during COVID, and that this next June, we might have enough time to make something like this happen. It wouldn't mean that every garden has to be Firewise. It would mean that maybe a select number demonstrate those principles, and that number would be hosted, those sites would have a wildfire risk assessor like myself. There's another landscape designer who's on our team, who wants to be part of this. So if there were just two properties that had pollinator-wise and fire-wise gardens that are also drought-tolerant and deer-wise, that's my ideal. And this is, I am speaking from myself because I don't necessarily represent the views of everybody. Other people are more interested in home hardening. So I'm promoting the other half of the equation by partnering with you. And my expectation is that the Wildfire Safety Commission would co-sponsor like Parks and Recs, be a player, but that any work required would be on volunteers.
Cool. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything? Yes, Nancy.
I would love to work with you on this. I too have a fire background, 35 years. And of course, my passion is gardening and landscape. And I've been trying to put together that Firewise pollinator list. And of course, we're missing out on the drought tolerant and deer proof as well. So I think the list is down to about two plants, but somehow we ought to be able to work this out collaborating. And Christina and I have been taking a good part of our time volunteering for BCUA, approving gardens. So if the three of us could collaborate, or if Christina has a really full plate with other things, I'd be glad to collaborate with you on approving gardens as well as the education component.
Excellent. So I don't understand your structure. Like, are you on a board or who are you?
I'm part of the Bee City USA excellent team. I think I'm the vice chair. So I'd like to invite you onto the board if you would like to do that as well. I'm probably speaking out of turn here, but I see a lot of faces I would like to see on the board as well. Hi, Patricia.
You mean the subcommittee?
The subcommittee. I'm right. Sorry. I call everything a board.
Yeah.
No, so, it sounds exciting.
Yeah. So Charisse, you missed the beginning of the meeting when we were doing introductions. So right now, and Libby, Rachel can certainly pop in here, but you have four volunteers that are part of the, actually five, because I'm in there too. So part of the BCUSA subcommittee reporting to Parks and Rec. So we have Nancy and then Lori and then Albert and then myself. And then Leslie is the Parks Commissioner, and then Libby is our wonderful liaison. We're glad to have Pat and Louise here from the community, as well as yourself. So we're all volunteers. Ashland's amazing for that. So yeah, I think this is good. I'm curious. Oh, sorry. Does anybody else have any other questions or thoughts? Yes, Pat.
Two questions quickly. Could you give me your last name, Charisse?
It's on the screen.
Oh, that is it. Okay. And second thing is, this is a very argument we've been having at our Mountain Meadows community. Firewise wants one thing and the gardeners want something else. And combining the two would make some of our people really happy because.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, I know there's a real need for it in the community, and I would really like to engage with a group. I don't know how to make it happen, if it's part of this, or we create a new group or something, but I really would love to work with a group of people who are motivated and excited about this topic.
Cool. Lori, did you have something?
I'll let Libby go first.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say that we're in September now, and the goals that we have for this year, 2021, are kind of coming into the end of the year. By the time we get to the end of 2021, we will be picking new goals for 2022. And one of those could definitely be the carrying forward the pollinator tour, assuming that COVID-19 allows us to do that. And then in addition to that, having that pollinator tour be an opportunity for this collaboration and education that includes, demonstrating examples of Firewise landscaping that's also pollinator friendly. And I think that there's plenty of time to get that kind of in the hopper now and kind of get some ideas around it and then adopt it and then move forward with it in 2022. Sounds like a great idea to me. We probably, one of the first steps might be to look at the over 75 approved Ashland pollinator gardens and see whether any of those existing pollinator gardens meet these criteria that would do double duty as good examples of pollinator landscaping and would also meet the needs of this, Firewise assessment. And these are great features for the pollinator.
Is that public information? I'm regularly now going to be going out at doing wildfire risk assessments throughout the community as a certified individual to do this. And if I had a list of properties that I could reference, then I could start looking around.
Some have agreed to be part of a larger map that gets shared around as on the map of approved pollinator gardens in our community. And some people, when they originally submitted an application, they said they'd prefer not to be public information. So we could separate that out pretty easily.
Okay.
Well, the other...
I could also make my property up for review for certification and see if it could serve. I know that this is just a starting point. So, I'm looking for anything that will open the door.
That was going to be one of my questions is, do you know of any gardens that fit both of these criteria, just the Firewise and pollinator, much less drought tolerant and deer friendly and all that? I was going to ask if you know any, but to respond to that point, we could certainly send a letter out to all 75-ish, whatever they are, gardeners and tell them about this. And then they could let us know if they would be interested in working. Anyway, it's just, we're getting down into the details we don't need to do right now. So,
there is a certain amount of lead time to do assessments, though, and I could work together to invite people to get a Firewise or wildfire risk assessment. It's called a RAW or RAP. It's simply a phone call, and then to get it scheduled. Staff is short, but that means that they get in line. Right now, there's 20 people waiting for these assessments, so we would need to get them to call in and formally ask for this, and then we could find out.
Okay. Well, I think this is awesome. I don't want to spend too much more time on this since we have some other things to talk about. I'm sorry, Lori, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I was going to make a motion that Nancy and Charisse do some cross commission collaboration since we've already initiated a project here to cross-reference the pollinator plant list with Firewise. It sounds like there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration here. I was going to move originally that we go forward with this plan to incorporate Charisse's idea for the next pollinator tour. But I think maybe just to start really having more collaboration in general and see where that goes and how to work through some of these details is a proposal I would like to make, that we have formalize some collaboration between Wildfire Safety and BCityUSA, and I nominate Nancy. You second that motion, Nancy?
I second that motion. And I think we should get started sooner than 2022.
Okay. And Charisse, I just want to personally thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Yeah. It's wonderful to have
you
here.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah. So wonderful.
We have a motion on the table. Motion.
Oh. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Nancy seconded. Okay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Pass that. Thank you all for approving it. So yeah, I just want to thank you, Charisse. You're welcome to stay with us for the rest of the meeting and listen a little bit more. And then we can talk further about, you know, looking at the gardens. And we do have a plant list. Thank you, Nancy, for putting that together at the start. It does have some things on there that might be problematic for fire people, but it would be a shame not to have it in a pollinator garden. So it's going to be interesting to see how we can work all that out.
May I have Charisse's contact information, please?
Yeah, we can get that for you.
Okay.
All right, good.
I'll link the two of you together because I know you both, so I'll do that.
Thank you, Lori.
Oh, good. Awesome. okay, now we get into our East Main Park discussion or information discussion, I guess sort of an update on where our little subcommittee is in terms of the East Main Park, and then just what we might want to do going forward. There is a survey that's out from Parks and Rec. Rachel is probably going to mention that. It's due September 8th. So we have an opportunity formally to, say what we think that way. But I think just, Albert, do you want to tell us a little bit about what we had done?
Well, there was the meeting last week was informative in the landscape, people from the landscape committee. Okay, that was, so yeah, I mean, I don't know who was part of that. I mean,
yeah. Albert, can I interrupt? Could you turn off your video in the hopes that I might be able to hear you better?
Yeah, thank you, Leslie.
Turn off
the
video. Oh, really?
I don't think you have the bandwidth to have video and audio simultaneously. That's what it's looking like here.
Yeah.
Is that any better?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Okie dokes. So I don't know, a lot of us, I think, gleaned a lot out of that. It was a lot of good questions, a lot of informative. The other information, the other part was that there's a landscape architect who's been hired by the Parks mm-hmm. Department to do the, do the plan, and that's in the works. Terrain, I think, Terrain Landscape. Mm-hmm. And then also, I don't know. There was a lot of information there, which was great. I'm trying to think where else, where this is going to go, or which, I'm not sure. If Rachel or Leslie knows any more about timeline, it seems like how soon are things going to happen? It was talked about being another kind of a meeting, Zoom meeting update in a month or two, or I'm not sure what the timeline was for that.
I'm actually not sure of what the timeline is at this point, but I'm assuming after the survey results come back, there'll be some kind of compilation of all the information. And then, okay. But I'll be sure to make sure, I'll be sure to ensure that this committee is looped in to any meetings when it is on the agenda, because I do have to attend all the Parks and Recreation Subcommittee meetings, or Parks and Recreation Commission meetings. So
okay.
Make sure you're all looped in.
Okay. And then the other thing was news to me that there was a subcommittee formed for East Main Park. And is there, how often do they meet, and can other people participate in those meetings? I'm assuming we can. So I guess that's definitely a question to, like, who formed that meeting? Who formed the subcommittee? I guess it was the Parks Commission, or was it staff? Who formed the subcommittee meeting for East Main Park?
I'm unsure of that at this time. I think it was some users of the current park and maybe a commissioner or two. Commissioner Eldridge, do you know anything about that? Otherwise, I can bring back information. Okay. Well, I'll try to get some more information on that.
They did list five or six people, and two of them were on the commission, Rick Lunt and Julian Bell.
Okay.
And then there was someone from the mountain bike community and then a couple other people. But I would really like to see somebody from the Beast City Action Committee be on that subcommittee. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah, let me try to find out a little more information for you. Okay, Albert?
Okay.
Albert, are you interested in being on that subcommittee?
If yeah, yes, I would definitely be interested, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be a good call. Thanks for telling us about that.
I do think that subcommittee has been in existence and been functioning for months and months now, though. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, I guess Rachel get back to me on that. The other thing was, I guess I'd like to hear from what other people thought of the, I don't know, what are we calling the last meeting on the 18th with about East Main Park, whatever that meeting was, informative meeting. So does anybody else have anything else they want to share from that or any updates? Or?
I think it was, you know, good. It was informative. I don't know how much was brand new. I did appreciate what Terrain and I don't know their names anymore, what they talked about. I think they have a strong interest in planting native plants and, you know, being aware of sustainability issues and so forth. It is a large parcel of land, but it also seems very small when there's so many, I don't know, maybe disparate isn't quite the right word, but it seems to have a pump track and a community garden. And I don't know, it seems like a lot of things on a relatively small space when you start adding that together. So I guess that would be my main point. And then as it relates to the next topic that we will be talking about is, I know the expenses are covered, but I guess I'm just questioning the timing of creating that particular park right now. So I guess those would be my two high level thoughts on that particular park. I do live on the south side of town. I think having a park would be awesome. So it's not that I'm anti-park or anything like that.
I think just to answer one of your questions quickly is that I don't think there's at this point a timeline for development of that park at this time. But I think if the commission were to look at it into the future, sometimes they look at phasing projects in too. So there could be like a phased plan where phase one is maybe the community garden, you know, the actual development of the park and maybe just the community garden. And then maybe phase two is adding. So, you know, it could depend on grant funding. It could, there's lots of things that it could depend on. So
good. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. So yeah, any other comments?
Nancy?
Oh, sorry, I can't see your hand, Nancy. Go ahead.
I would like to comment on this and somewhat echo Christina. When I read the paper on August 25th, it mentioned that there was such a considerable deficit in parks and rec funding to the tune of, what was it, $2 million. And so I questioned, oh my gosh, can we really afford a new park? But I'm happy to hear Rachel say that it's not scheduled for imminent building until perhaps we get this funding issue resolved. And the other thing that was mentioned in the same paragraph was, and I have this in front of me, specifically the Nature Center and Senior Services programs would likely be the first cuts to mitigate this deficit. So my enthusiasm about the park has diminished considerably at this point. And I guess tonight is the meeting where this would be a more appropriate comment, but I would like it to be in the Bee City minutes, because it probably not only concerns North Mountain Park and the NPAR program, if the Bee City program is also being considered for elimination in some way or reduction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy, for mentioning that. And I think that is
I wrote some notes down on that meeting, and I don't know if maybe Rachel knows this, but I thought they had like a $740,000 in reserve specifically for the East Main Park. Did I misunderstand something or?
Not, yeah, there's, you know, there's money allocated in the current capital improvements.
Yeah.
And where does that money come from? Is that tax?
Right.
The capital improvements project money comes from food and beverage, the food and beverage funds that are allocated to parks and recreation. So they have their funds that have been set aside.
So why would they start a new park?
What?
Why
I guess I'm not. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Albert.
Well, the way I understood it, the way Michael Black was explaining it, was that there was a reserve specifically for the East Main Park of over $700,000 due to the sale of the land on Upper Clay Street, or the other part of Clay Street.
The YMCA, correct.
Right.
Yeah.
That was to buy the land, not to develop the park, correct?
Yeah, that was to buy the land, but not develop the park. But there is money in the CIP to at least plan out for the development of the park.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear what was, Looks like Lori has a question.
Yeah. So if we listened in tonight, would that give us some more insight into this? Because I think the point that Nancy's making, right, is that if there's a hole, then, spreading it over an additional park and adding a park. And I think the people in this committee feel very strong support for North Mountain Park as being a particular jewel of the system, unlike any other, and we would staunchly defend continued resource allocation towards North Mountain Park.
And I appreciate that, and I think that's why we've started emailing all of our subcommittees and committees, because the Parks Commissioners are concerned, and I would just end by saying it's not just a parks budget issue, it's a city issue. There are problems across the entire city budget. So I think if you watch tonight, make sure you register ahead of time so you can watch it, because it's not going to be live streamed. So okay.
All right. Rachel, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And will it be recorded? So we can watch it after the fact?
Correct.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you. All right. Okay, well,
thank you, everyone.
Yeah. We already sort of segued into the next one. So now did we already talk about number 8, or do we want to talk about that further? I guess, Nancy, you've already, I'm now moved on to number 8, I think, because we've already sort of done that. Nancy, you obviously have some comments, and I appreciate you speaking those here in this meeting. But I guess my question is, can B-City USA Ashland put out a statement that can be provided to the budget committee or the commissioners or the city or somebody to say, express our concerns? Is it better just for each of us to speak as Ashland residents?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for you to speak as Ashland residents to what you think is important to the city that you live in.
Right.
And we're just making sure that you're informed of what the current budget crisis is. And I think after tonight, if you watch the Parks Commission meeting, like I said, you will get a good idea of what's happening and how you can advocate for, the park system and the recreation system, not just the park system. Looking back on what the cuts that we made, that Parks and Recreation made in this last biennium, we laid off 6 people that we haven't gotten back. So, it's unfortunate. We did also take furlough days in order to save money in our budget as a whole. So we have done lots of things in order to cut spending.
And if it would be helpful at all, I want to make sure that everyone in the committee and everyone who's interested in North Mountain Park has access to summaries of our services and accomplishments and the quantitative impacts that the Nature Center has in this community. And I compiled all of that. It's in our annual reports. And just in case the annual report is too much of a coffee table book, which is a beautiful coffee table book to browse through. I've also created a Cliff Notes version that is down to like a couple of pages that show the graphs and the statistics of the number of people whose lives are changed through both service and education, you know, from what we do here. So I'd be happy to put that in your hands so that you can make, you know, the argument for what appears to be a luxury item when you call it recreation, but which umbrellas a huge amount of empowering social services that improve graduation rates and improve sustainability in our whole valley. So anyway, I'd love to put that in your hands if you'd like.
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay.
So you can send that email or whatever. Leslie, you have a question or comment?
Comment. You can tell me if this is appropriate, Rachel, but I would encourage every one of you as individuals to write to your city council members and tell them what you think about what APRC and the associated bodies offer. And I don't know if BCityUSA can submit something to city council as a group, but I don't see why not. Doesn't seem to be any reason why you couldn't address city council as a group. So I think the more voices, and this is true of APRC too, that, you know, I get lots and lots of emails, and the voices that I hear are the ones that get into my head as the things that this is what our community wants. So tell all your friends, tell everyone to write to their elected officials and let them know, because this is such a small town. It makes a really big difference. If you write an email, take 5 minutes, I think it would make a big difference.
I love that. Thank you very much for saying that. And I'm not on any of the committees or the commissions, and I want to make sure that I'm saying I'm getting to the crux of the problem or the issue or the concerns or the changes or whatever. I want to make sure I'm using the right words. So, I mean, are we pretty much saying that we want to make sure that the North Mountain Park and the services and resources that is provided to not only Ashland, but the community as a whole, the greater community, all in the Rogue Valley, as well as supporting BCityUSA Ashland, we wanna make sure that it will survive the budget cuts that are imminent. I mean, that's pretty much what we wanna say, right? Do we have anything, is there any other point here?
I guess what I would say is they're not imminent at this point. It's just right now it's a funding issue, and it's okay. They're trying to figure out where the funding is going to go. Is it going to go to, you know, is Parks going to get less money out of the general fund and more money from the food and beverage? How is all of the allocation going to work? So I think that's the issue right now. So I think if you all just watch the meeting tonight or listen to it, I think you'll get a really good idea, and maybe it's something y'all can work on kind of behind the scenes, because it really, we're going to need advocates at some point. And I think, I also think that what I've seen from the Parks and Recreation Commission, they need to hear the good things right now too, because those meetings have been really rough lately. So hearing from
a little bit of that. Yeah. So then you just told me it's not like a deadline, like we all need to rush out and say something for tonight's meeting. Okay, so it's for later. Okay, that's great. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
What might be helpful to understand that actually took me a little while to catch up on in watching that last meeting is that the city council and Parks and Rec, it sounds like, had reached sort of an agreement that funding would continue through the biennium, because there is a proposed and adopted budget that takes us through the remainder of the next year and, you know, 8 months or whatever. But that has also been up for some discussion, because it seems like they want to revisit that, and that's within the short term. They kind of want to revisit whether that will really go forward as planned. And then there's a second discussion about how Parks and Rec can continue to be funded in the long term, looking out more like a 10-year timeline past the current biennium. So while the current biennium we all felt was pretty secure it's now being up for some discussion again. But even that is more secure than the uncertainty and lack of commitment that looks ahead on the 10-year timeline past this biennium. So what I have found confusing a little bit is that those are two completely different discussions. So we'll probably require two different votes. And I think that's helpful because we also want to see sustainability education happen for the next 10 years as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, big topic. Any other comments on either number 7 or 8? They're all sort of merged in there together. All right, thanks. Yep, we're hanging in there for you, Libby and Rachel, for sure, and everybody else.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we have number 9 yet, and then I'm thinking that we can do number 5 really quickly. Kate, as I think all of you know, wasn't able to be with us after all because she had a job work commitment come up after all. So hopefully you remember Kate was here with us the last meeting, and she has submitted her application to join our subcommittee. Hopefully everyone has had a chance to look at that. So I'll just ask, yes, Lori.
I make a motion that we accept Kate Jackson as a new member of the BCity USA Ashland Committee.
I second.
All right. Anybody else? Any comments, questions? All right. Can I have a show of hands for approval? All right. Nancy, I guess you motion. You're fine. Okay. I was going to. Great. Thank you, Lori. Moving right on.
Just a quick process question or process, Libby. That will just need to go to for acknowledgement to the Parks Commission at their October meeting, just for acknowledgement.
So aside from the usual minutes from something like this, it would be a separate email to Sean to say this is an actual bullet point.
Yeah, it'll need to go to their on their consent agenda, and I can help you with that. We can talk offline.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. And then I can reach out to Kate, I guess, unless anyone else wants to reach out to her to say that welcome to the committee. And I'm not quite sure. She indicated something about work conflict sometimes, so I don't know if 3 o'clock is always going to be a good time for her. So we'll just have to sort of work on that. Yes, Nancy.
I'd like to invite her to join the committee with subcommittee with Cerise.
Cool.
I mean, I'd like you to do it when you send.
Okay. I was going to see if Cherise is going to say anything, but I think she's going to be fine with that. Okay, good. Excellent. I like that idea. Thank you.
I'm sorry I left the room.
That's okay.
What happened?
We have just added a new person to our subcommittee, Kate Jackson.
Okay.
And Nancy is suggesting that we include her with you and Nancy's subcommittee. That'll be great.
Welcome to the committee. Thank you.
Great.
Good. Okay, so we're down to the last item until we move on to the very final point. So incorporating educational resources into BCity USA meetings. Lori, this is your suggestion, which I think is very overdue and therefore timely. So we have some time to talk a little bit about it, and then maybe this is something that we want to bring back again to the next meeting to talk a little bit further when maybe we won't have quite so many items. But go for it.
Yeah, I just, in the last few months with not being on this committee, I've spent some time on the Xerxes website, and they are the parent, they're the ones that created this whole program, and there's just so many resources on there. And I just wondered, as committee members, if we can, should we just sign up for are there things, resources that come to you as chair or to Libby or, that could be shared with us, or just how to make sure we really get a lot out of that. I don't have the background to know where to go with that, except there's a lot of really good stuff there, and I want to make sure that we're all looking at that to keep ourselves educated. I think especially with climate change and things, you know, that are happening all around us that affect our biological universe, that they have a lot of groundbreaking stuff that is very germane to the work that we're doing and informs the work that we're doing. So I was just trying to make that linkage of how we connect to that larger body that we're part of.
Yeah.
I think how we should.
How we should, yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And I get the e-news that comes out every, I don't know, month, or I'm not quite sure when it comes out. And I, for some reason, was thinking that they would send it out to all of the subcommittee members, but maybe I'm totally wrong about that. Does anybody else get the e-news? Libby, no, you don't get it either?
Xerxes, no.
Oh my goodness. Okay, because they have a list of all of them. So I'll start forwarding them.
Great. I think I get some of the emails from Bee City USA Central, but I don't get educational resources directly from Xerxes. So
I'm sorry. That's the one I meant. The Bee City. Yeah. They send it out a quarterly or monthly kind of thing. That's the one I normally get, except then I've signed up my own self for Xerxes stuff.
Well, I thought perhaps that there is a change. I'm sorry that there are communications that are meant specifically for the Bee City USA members and committees across the country. And I do get like general stuff from them as somebody, you know, a normal person. But I like to have a higher status and get that inside stuff that, you know, we're all working towards.
And I think maybe that's something that we need to be added in the procedure. So like when we do add a new subcommittee person to this committee or subcommittee, whatever it's supposed to be called, to this body, then there needs to be something to go out then to Bee City USA Central to say, hey, we've just added, you know, Lori Kaplan or whatever. And then, or I can just send it out my own, just forward it on either way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
Thank you.
Because they do have a lot of good information, obviously, and they do have the webinars there. I was actually thinking that you were also proposing that we do more with getting that information out to the public through our Bee City USA Ashland platform. So I didn't know, that was probably more of a topic for next time.
Yeah, maybe if we could formalize our... get ourselves more up to speed, or for speaking personally, like I would just like to be feel like I'm part of this thing, big good thing, and then maybe we can have another conversation about how we can maybe step up our dissemination of information, just tapping into the stuff they do so we don't have to recreate the wheel.
Right
And when you our platform, do you mean our web page on the website, or do you mean, do we have a Facebook page, or what other mechanisms do we have to communicate?
Well, the ones that I know of would be, we do have a web page on the Ashland, Oregon City website. So we have a page, and we have resources listed there. And of course, resources is listed. How many people go to that web page? Don't know. And then there is a Facebook for APRC, and I've thought often about having something to go out through Facebook, but I don't know, it's kind of hard to do sometimes. So right now, those are the two that I know of. Yeah.
Those are the two I know of as well. If there was stuff that you wanted to release to the Ashland Parks and Rec Facebook page, you would just want to share that with me with a little bit of lead time, because I need to get approval, and then... that's another way of getting information out to the public.
So I would like to have this as a topic for a conversation, you know, at the next meeting, perhaps, just to think about this. I think this would be a good agenda topic.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're doing actually really well, considering how packed this agenda was and some big topics. We're asking next for other items from committee members. Does anybody have anything? Yes, Libby.
Just one thing, kind of a point of order. I think that I've gotten some feedback that it might be good if we got the agendas for these meetings out ahead of a little bit earlier. I think we're just kind of right up against that public meeting process, deadline where they're released just in time to be legal, but it might give more people an opportunity to participate if we gave ourselves like a week of lead time before the meeting mm-hmm. happens. And so I'm going to work with Christina on maybe having kind of changing the timing of the meeting development so that 2 weeks out, we're preparing the agenda and asking for input. And then hopefully we could release this in a little bit more timely fashion.
That's good. I usually try to have it to you like a couple of days before the week prior to.
Yeah.
And this month just sort of, I don't know. And also, this was a little shorter time frame. Normally we meet like 3 months, and this is like almost 2.5, and it makes a difference. But yes, your point is very valid. Thank you for that.
It's been working okay for me. I work on whatever timeline you are all on, and we scramble and we put it together, and it works okay. But I think that some people would like to see it with more notice to know whether they're going to come.
Okay, that's good. Does anybody else have any other items? I have one little big one. So Molly Martin, who she was Phyllis's replacement, Phyllis Stiles. So Phyllis Stiles is the founder of B-City USA back in Asheville, North Carolina. And then Phyllis realized that B-City USA was getting way, way too big. And so she was able to work with Xerces and got it in to the Xerces camp. And then Phyllis retired. And then Molly Martin took her place, 2 years ago, maybe? And then Molly has since moved to another job with Xerces. So at the moment, there is no B-City USA coordinator, or whatever her title is, at Xerces. So I think that's big enough to tell you all, because some of us met Molly when Molly and Phyllis came through here a year or two ago. So that's that. Anything else about other committee members? Okay. So now we are up to choosing our next date, which I guess would be December if we're following this quarterly process. Usually we're doing 3 to 4:30, although I guess I don't know what Kate's availability is. So I guess we'll just have to assume 3 to 4:30 at the moment.
Yes.
And we'll see how it goes. So December would be, do we want to do the early part of the month, probably?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be the 1st or the 8th. Probably the 1st would be my recommendation.
Yep. 1st sounds good.
All right. Any, Lori, are you good with that? Okay. Leslie, you're okay? Okay. So that was
the first is looking good to me, but we also probably want to check with our new member before we actually firm this up and get it on the look ahead and all of those steps. Why don't I send an email around and get Kate in on this? And if she has a problem or a conflict with that, would you be open to doing a doodle poll?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, because she may have a problem with the 1st, but then she might also have a problem with 3:00, period. You know, so we may have to look at adjusting our time somehow. I don't know.
Well, we'll try to zoom in on that, but depending on what she says, since she's not here, if it's not easy, you may be getting a doodle poll from me.
Right, exactly. Okay, so you're going to email everybody plus Kate, confirm that. And then I guess it would be nice, though, to have an email that goes out first to say welcome, or do we combine it all together? I don't need to spend y'all's time with asking this question, but
Christina, why don't you welcome her, and I'll spend my time doing the logistical things, like there's the date of the meeting, here's the draft minutes from the meeting we just had, blah blah blah. And it's probably more officious and not as friendly, so if you can do the friendly one, that would be awesome.
Okay, I'll do the friendly one. Okay, great. Oh my goodness, did we actually finish 4 minutes early? Any other thoughts or comments about any of the things we discussed, or any agenda item for next time, other than we know we are going to be talking about educational resources, whatever that means, in terms of how we want to develop that?
I think we have to start talking about the plant tour, the garden tour.
The garden tour. Okay, put the garden tour on there. And hopefully we'll all celebrate good news about a budget.
Wasn't it discussed last month about having Rachel or Director Black come and give a talk on APRC org chart and structural organization? I know it was us, right?
It was what? Yes. Lori raised that.
I think it was us, and it was also RDAC too, so the RDAC committee. So you're right. So
that'd be great. Yeah, and I guess I want to ask if say that I'm going to be putting out another schedule for reconvening the work group number 2. Anybody who wants to come and probably do that. It might not be till the end of October because I have both of my kids are getting married in the next few weeks.
Congratulations.
So anything I can't do in the next 2 weeks is going to have to punt, but thank you. Yeah. So I'm going to probably look at the end of October for that.
Great. Okay. And Lori, did you see that we should put Rachel in our little bucket?
I did. Thank you, Rachel. Yep.
Okay. Awesome meeting. Thank you all. Oh, Charisse, are you raising your hand or saying goodbye?
No. I had a question.
Sorry.
I wanted to go to a tour at 5:00. I think it was being sponsored by you, but I can't, my computer's down and I can't not figure out where it is.
It's 312 North Main in Phoenix.
Thank you.
I don't know what it's going to be like out there. I haven't been outside. Yes.
Okay. So, see you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Libby, can you hang one sec?
Sure.
After. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Pat for coming.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. I'm going to stop the recording.
Yeah.